Hey, good morning. We're so glad that you're going to hang out with us over the next few moments. I'm Pastor Marcus Meekin with Seven Hills Church, and we absolutely love the opportunity that we have, the honor. It's an honor to us to be able to spend these next few minutes with you. Before we get to the message in just a moment, I want to encourage you that we've got a free devotional. It's absolutely free. It's our gift to you. If you'll call the number on the screen at any point in our broadcast, they'll make sure that they get that to you. It's a devotional on the book of Acts, and it walks you through how God is calling us to have the same acts that the early apostles had. In other words, what God did in that generation, God wants to do in ours, and we want to encourage you to get that free devotional. We know it'll be a blessing to you. Also, as soon as we wrap up our time together, so that's about 30 minutes from now, you can come and hang out with Seven Hills Church live and online, and they're going to tell you exactly how you can do that. And so please come and worship with us, chat with us, get to know us. And of course, there'll be a fresh message there as well. And so with that in mind, let's get right to the message.
Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to read a bunch of verses, but I'll go really, really fast because I got a lot I want to say. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones from that place, and he put his head on the stone, and he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. Its top reached down, reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? I almost entitled my message, how awesome is this place? And then he says, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put his head on, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil, anointed that stone. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. The name of that city had previously been named Luz. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if God be with me and keep me in the way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing, so that I come back and that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. I want to talk to you about a world without the church. I want you to imagine a world without the church. What you're reading here is a world like that. The story is a world that existed before the church. And once upon a time, this was the world that we lived in. We need to know that God never intended the world to exist without the church, no more than he wanted the world to be filled with sin, sickness, disease, death, loss, confusion, division, strife, all the heartbreaking things that we all experience. Of course, we would know that that was not God's intention. And so it is that God never intended there to be a world without the church. As a matter of fact, the only reason God created the universe was for the church. If God didn't want the church to exist, nothing you see would have ever been created. Now, I'm not speaking about a building. We should know, if you don't know this, Jesus did not die for a building. Jesus did not die for us to attend a building. He did not die for us to participate in a program. He did not die for us to spectate at some event. The church is not an institution. It's not a place that I go. The church, in its truest definition, is a spiritual family that we belong to. And God created everything that we see for a family. God wanted a family. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. In other words, when you think about the church, you should think God's family. You should think this is the family of God. It's more than a building. When you look at the story that we just read, again, a world that had no church, Jacob, the previous backstory of this would have been he's on the run. He had just done some horrific things to his own family. He had deceived his family. He had lied to them. He was selfish. As a result, chaos broke out in his family. Division broke out in his family. And Jacob is on the run because his brother Esau is seeking revenge and is trying to kill him. He has nowhere to go. He has no one to turn to. His dad has just died. His mom can't help him. Again, his brother is trying to kill him. He's lost his home. He's exhausted. He's collapsed in a place called Luz. Luz is a place of springs, and more specifically, it's a crooked and perverse place. If you look up the word Luz, it means crooked and perverse. This would be the spring break spot in Israel. This would be the place everyone would go and party for spring break. People from all over the world would come to this crooked and perverse place, this place of springs, to party every single year. This is also known as a major intersection. All highways that would be from north to south or from east to west would all intersect at Luz, would intersect at this place. And Jacob is at this place where everyone's celebrating, everyone's partying, everyone's having the time of a lifetime, they're enjoying life. But in the midst of everyone else having all their fun, Jacob is weary, he's lonely, he's heartbroken. And as he looks around at this place and he falls asleep, clueless about what to do, in a world without a church, he has a dream. And in this dream, he gets a vision of what God wanted to do by creating a family, what a church family would mean, what a church family would accomplish, what a church family could bring, the value that it could add to your life. And so when he woke up in this crooked and perverse place, he names it Bethel, or the house of God. And so I want to give you real quick these three thoughts about a church or a world without the church. Number one, without the church, we would see that there could be no heaven on earth. Jacob, when he called this place Bethel, it says he saw a ladder and angels were ascending and descending. The ladder didn't start on earth and ascend. It started in heaven and it descended. In other words, heaven reached down to earth. The ladder is what gives us access to heaven. This is an Old Testament picture of Jesus. We see this in John chapter 1, verse 51. Jesus tells Nathanael that he is the ladder. He says, I tell you the truth. You will see all of heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway or the ladder between heaven and earth. In other words, Jesus said, I'm the ladder that Jacob, thousands of years ago, dreamed about. If you want heaven in your life, Jesus said, I am the way. Now, you may be saying, okay, I get it. Jesus, he's the way to heaven. But what does that have to do with the church? Notice, Jacob in his dream did not separate the ladder, the way to heaven, the way heaven accesses earth, from the place that he experienced it, from the place that he became aware of it. Jacob said, surely the presence of God was in this place, and I did not know it. You may not know this, but if there's no church, again, not building God's family, there is no heaven on earth. You might be saying, well, it's hell on earth. Everywhere I look, it's hell. Everywhere I look, it's pain. That's true, but you can also have heaven on earth in the midst of all of that. That's what Jacob had, is it not? He's in Luz. He's in a crooked, perverse, crazy, sin-filled place, but yet in that place, he found a way for heaven to access his earth. Jacob said, now I get what I didn't understand before. How many of you at one point did not get what you understand now? I can remember being 16 years of age. I drove by the church that I would get saved in 1,000 times. I drove by that church drunk. I drove by that church high. The presence of the Lord was in that place. I just wasn't aware of it. But one night, it was a Saturday night, I found my way to that church. And they begin to preach the gospel. They begin to preach Jesus in a way that I had never heard or understood, that wasn't just religious and it wasn't just a little, you know, kind of traditional thing, but it was, I mean, the real Jesus, the real cross, the real price that he paid. And somehow there in that place, the presence of God showed up. I just wasn't aware of it before that moment. That ladder from heaven reached down to where I was at. That ladder reached down into my lusts, into my crookedness and my perverseness. And somehow in that place, God became real to me. But before that, he wasn't. You see, what am I saying? God's house, God's family is where we become aware of the presence of God. But think of it this way. America has embassies all over the world. In countries, almost every country in the world, you can find an American embassy. And what an American embassy is a little bit of America a long way from home. It's where the law of America rules. It's considered sovereign territory. The embassies don't belong to the country they're located in. They belong to the country that they're from. So this is why if you ever get in trouble in a foreign country, you just want to take off running as fast as you can and get through the gate of an American embassy, because once you get through the gate of that embassy, the laws of America prevail, not the laws of the country that you're in. And so God's embassy on the earth is his great church. The church is the place that brings the values of our homeland into foreign territory. This world is foreign territory. This world is not our home. And how some way God has chosen to set up shop in this world through what we know is the church. The church does not represent the country that it's in. It represents the country that it's from. The church represents heaven on earth. This is why Jesus taught us in his prayer that we should pray, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Throughout history, the way God has orchestrated from heaven his will in the earth is through his embassy, the church. And this is where we are today. This is why we're here. We're learning to be God's family. We're learning how to access heaven, how to allow heaven to access us in a culture, in a foreign land that wants nothing to do with God, that is not aware of the purposes of God. We come to a church so we can some way, somehow find out how do we be the family that God's called us to be. Without it, there's no heaven on earth. The problem is, we would know that most churches are just a religious entity. They sprinkle a little Jesus and a little Bible into their services, and the primary objective of the people is to attend, to show up, and to spectate. And we would know that this is not the church. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to experience the presence of God, you would go to the temple. When you got to the temple, the presence of God was in the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. There was the Shekinah glory. And if you wanted to experience the presence of God, you had to go to the temple. That's how you became aware of the presence of God. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, it says, "Do you not realize that all of you together," hit the person next to you and say, "He's talking about you." "Do you not realize that all of you together are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you." In other words, when the world comes looking for who God is, when the world comes looking for the presence of God, all of you together are the temple. All of you, when we come together, not when we're all individuals, but when we come together, we represent his presence in the earth. You say, well, what is the church supposed to look like? Acts chapter 2, verse 41 would be a good place to start. It says this, "And those who believed," everybody circle the word believed, "and were baptized," you can circle the word baptized or you can say it, "and about 3,000 in all, then they joined," everybody say joined, joined, they joined. This is, they didn't attend, they joined. This is your Bible, by the way. It's not my Bible, this is your Bible. "They joined with other believers in regular attendance." Some translations say they were committed to the apostles' teaching. So everybody say teaching. Sessions and communion service. Everybody say communion services. And prayer meetings. Everybody say prayer meetings. They worshiped. Everybody say worshiped. together regularly in the temple each day. They met in small groups. Everybody say small groups. For communion, they shared meals with great joy and thankfulness. So let's look at the words. Believed, baptized, joined, committed, teaching or discipleship. It says fellowship. We worship small groups. And what am I trying to say? You are a part of a church that believes in what Acts chapter 2 talks about, that it's about more than attending. It's about believing, being baptized, joined, committed, discipleship, fellowship, worship, small groups, communion, shared meals. Without this, there's no heaven on earth. Without being joined and committed, there's no heaven on earth. Number two, we would see that a world without the church would be a world where the gates of hell prevail. Verse 17 of Genesis 28 says, the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jesus in Matthew 16 talked about the gates, plural, of hell. And here Jacob talked about the gate, singular, of heaven. A gate in Bible times was a place that people would dialogue. It was a place that you would go for direction. It was considered a place of decision making. Elders would gather. Legislation would be decided at the gate. And so when the Bible says heaven has a gate, and if you want to know what that gate is, he said it's the church. Be reminded that hell also has gates. That's what happens outside of this place. So in here right now, there's a dialogue going on. And more than likely, what you're wrestling and fighting against as this dialogue goes on is the dialogue that you experience out there at hell's gates. And everything that hell's gates says to you is doing its best strategically. It's designed to get you to walk in here and be confused about heaven's gate. Everything that hell's gates is trying to do is convince you that you don't need heaven's gate. The dialogue, the conversations, the decision making, the direction that you'll get in the world is all designed to push you in a direction away from heaven's gate. And this is what's going on with Jacob. Jacob, again, is in the worst season imaginable, and in that season, somehow he finds his way to Bethel, or the house of God, which is the gate of heaven. And we see what begins to happen when you can just consistently get to church. Verse 15, I am with you. This is what God said to Jacob. He's lost everything. God says, I'm with you. I'll keep you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Exodus 25, verse 22, in Moses' tabernacle, there I will meet with you, and there I will talk to you. When we come to church, it's a gate where God can have a conversation with us and give us direction and help us make decisions in life. Jacob is facing his dilemma of a lifetime, but yet he comes to the gate of heaven. All kinds of decisions to make, all kinds of directions to choose to go in. But there, God begins to speak to him. He gets direction. He gets his focus. His faith is built. He's got problems. He's facing those problems. He's up against the most miserable things. But yet at the gate of heaven, God begins to say, it's not just about your current pain or your current circumstance. I am with you wherever you go. I'm with you in the loss, Jacob. I'm with you in your weakness. I'm with you in your pain. I'm with you in your heartbreak. I'm even with you in the failure that you are running from. But God says to him, I will keep my promise. I will fulfill what I have spoken. And Jacob did not hear that at the gates of hell. Jacob heard that at the gate of heaven. And whatever problem in life you are facing, you better make sure that you're in church so you can in some way hear God begin to talk to you about that problem, so you can get your focus off of the problem and onto the fact that in the problem, he is with you. He's going to fulfill his promise. He will do what he has spoken. Can I get a big amen? Ephesians 3 and verse 9 says, my task is to bring out into the open and make plain what God, who created all of this in the first place, has been doing in secret behind the scenes all along. Listen to what he's been doing. This is what God's been doing in secret. You ready? Through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches. The extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and it's talked about among the angels. All of this proceeding along lines planned all along by God, then executed in Christ Jesus. We trust in him. We're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud. Paul is saying the same thing to the church of Ephesus as Jacob was announcing there at Luz, and it's real simple. In our main text, nothing would change about Jacob's situation. His dad's still gone. He's still estranged from his mom. His brother still has a death wish against him. He has no home. He's still weary. He's still tired. Yet at the house of God, which is the gate of heaven, everything changed. Nothing changed externally, but Jacob was changed because he saw God is at work in it all. His direction changed because he showed up at Bethel. His decisions changed because he showed up at Bethel. He realized that God is faithful no matter what the outcome is because he showed up at Bethel. And this is how I see this working. Luz is also, again, a place of intersections. All the highways from the north to the south to the north, the east to the west to the east, all of them met right there at Luz. Wherever you are at in Israel, if you're traveling, you are going to end up at the intersection there in Luz. And so at an intersection, of course, you have multiple choices you can make, decisions you can make concerning the direction you should go. And when you come and you're just there and it's just crooked and it's just perverse, in other words, all you have is the input of the world, more than likely you'll make a wrong turn. Which means what? You'll end up at a wrong destination, right? If you come to church and you keep coming to church and you stay faithful to church, even if you make a wrong turn, you know what happens? The church is there to say, hey, this is not the right way for you. You get offended, you get bitter, unforgiveness sets in, take a turn. The church is there, hopefully preaching on what? Forgiveness, letting it go. It's not God's best for you. Turn around. Go the other way. So the church is here to warn you about wrong decision-making, wrong relationships. It's just here to say, hey, you got to think about what's God's will for your life. What's God's way? What's God's word for your life? Not what do the gates of hell say. But you come to church because it's the gate of heaven. And here God can begin to speak to you about, hey, you're moving in the wrong direction, Jacob. Jacob, I know you're a deceiver. I know you're a liar. I know you're self-centered. That's not the right way. I've got another direction for you. I've got another way you want to go. And so then you turn in the right direction. What's the church there to do? Come on, keep on going. Don't stop. Don't slow down. That's right. You're doing it right. This is right. God's got better in front of you if you just keep moving in the right direction. I don't understand if the church is so great. Why can I see so many churches and we still have so much weakness in the church? Because you're talking about the buildings that you see. But if you go inside of the building, many of them, including this building, by the way, on the inside, you have more people that are about each man for himself than they are about being the rock or the collection of believers that have come together to represent heaven on earth.
Hey, I'm praying that that message spoke to you in a very real way. With that in mind, the Bible says, if Jesus be lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. And that's our goal today, is to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. In that name, there's healing, there's salvation, there's forgiveness, there's restoration, there's a brand new beginning. Maybe you're hanging out with us today and you'd say, Marcus, I sense that there's been a drawing in my heart towards the Lord. And maybe you've just been exhausted with the way you've been living, exhausted with the ways of this world. And you've been saying, God, I need to know what to do. Well, our challenge to you today is let God draw you. Let God call you to that place where you can have a brand new beginning. Forgiveness is there. Love is there. Mercy is there. And one of the ways that you can do that is just simply, even right where you're at, just simply in your own heart and with your own mouth, just say these words. Say, Jesus, I'm done running. I want to come back home. Say this, according to Romans 10 and verse 9, I believe that you're God's son. I believe that you're God's only son, and that he raised you from the dead. I give you my life now. I repent. I turn from this world. I turn from my old life, and I turn towards you, and I ask you to give me a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we believe that's the beginning of you saying, okay, God, I sense that you're drawing me, but we want to encourage you to call the number on the screen. There's a team of people there that can talk with you a little bit more, fill in some of the details that I don't have time to do right now. There's also a free devotional called Start Strong that they're going to give you. It'll teach you about prayer, about the Bible, about the local church, and we will get that to you. And so if you said, Marcus, I feel like it's my day for a brand new beginning, if you'll call the number on the screen, they'll get you that Start Strong devotional. Also, don't forget, we are giving away a brand new devotional on the book of Acts, just challenging us all to continue to be a part of God's story in the earth. That the same way God moved in the early church, God wants to move in our generation. And so if you'll call the number on the screen, they will get you that devotional absolutely free. And so that would be just such a blessing to us. Also, don't forget, come and hang out with us online pretty much right now. As soon as I wrap up my time together, go to marcusmeekum.com and hang out with us there. Until next week, it's been such an honor hanging out with you. God bless you.
When I don't pray like I used to, I sing quite as loud as I did. My mind may